Hey, good morning. Happy 4th of July weekend. So grateful that you've tuned in to hear our message here at Hope Springs this morning. I'd like to encourage you, if you have friends who you think would benefit from these messages, I'd just encourage you to pass on our website where they could view these messages. And those of you who are feeling comfortable to coming out, we're having services 9:15, 11:15, 2 p.m. each Sunday, and those are small groups of believers gathered to worship, and it's been a good time, and we've been enjoying each other's company. We are trying to social distance during those times, and once you're feeling comfortable, feel free to come out. If you're not feeling comfortable quite yet, we totally understand. We're praying for you and thinking about you, and praying for you even as you watch these videos. If you have prayer concerns or needs, please let us know. But I encourage you to celebrate this weekend. This is a very important weekend. The 4th of July is a celebration of our freedom. You know, it marks the passage of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress in 1776. And this declaration announced the separation of the 13 North American colonies from Great Britain, resulting in the birth of a nation. So happy birthday, America. Today's the day we celebrate, and just this weekend's the time we celebrate just the birth of our nation. And God has very important things for America yet to do, and we have a very rich history in God. And I encourage you to be proud of your American heritage and to follow Jesus. He loves our nation, and he has plans for our nation, and I believe revival is coming for America. You know, freedom is never free, and so we remember the high price that was paid for our freedoms today. We also remember Jesus. Jesus gives us spiritual freedom, eternal freedom, and he paid the highest price to set us free, to give us that incredible gift of freedom. And so it was Augustine, and Augustine said this, that he that is kind is free. He that is kind is free, though he is a slave. He that is evil is a slave, though he be a king. And so we are free for a purpose. We're free to minister the love of God. We're free to live out a life of faith. We're free to go after our dreams in God. And so be kind. Walk in the kindness of God. Watchman Nee said this. I think it's very profound about freedom. He said, "Teach us to pray that we may cause the enemy to flee, that we his evil power may bind his prisoners to free." I love that. Teach us to pray that we may cause the enemy to flee, that we his evil power may bind his prisoners to free. We can free people from the binds of the enemy. The enemy's tied people up in discouragement. He's tied people up in depression. He's tied people up in fear. He's tied people up in bitterness and anger and unforgiveness. But there's freedom. We can bind that up as believers and offer people the freedom of God, the joy of Jesus, purpose and meaning for life, hope for the future. These are all ours to give as the people of God. A.W. Tozer, he said this, "In almost everything that touches our everyday life on earth, God is pleased when we are pleased. He wills that we be as free as birds to soar and sing our Maker's praise without anxiety." I love that. And almost everything that touches our everyday life on earth, God is pleased when we're pleased. He wills that we be as free as birds to soar and sing our Maker's praise without anxiety. Are you singing your Maker's praise? Are you caught up in worship? Because there's such joy there. There's such power there. There's such a grace for life there. And so God loves it. C.S. Lewis said, he's a hedonist at heart. God wants you to enjoy your life. Jesus said, "I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly." And so Jesus wants you to have an abundant life. He wants you to be enjoying life. And if you're not there, today could be Independence Day. You could experience a new level of freedom as you realize that God desires your joy. God desires you to experience his love. And I read this past week. I've been just living in this book of Ephesians here for the past few months, and I just love it. There's so much of God's goodness in this book of Ephesians, and so much direction for the church, and it shows God's heart for the church, that God's church is center place. It's not secondary. And God's global church is where He's moving. He desires to move in such power, and it's central to God. He loves His church. He calls the church His bride. And so I encourage you, as being part of the church, you know, God's heart is for you. He's doing amazing things, and Ephesians is all about the church. I've just been rediscovering the beauty of the church and what God has to say about the church from the book of Ephesians. And I found this in light of an Independence Day. I thought we should just park here for a while and just look at this. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. I want to read it to you from the Message translation. Then I'll read it to you from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 1, 7 through 10. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we are a free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all our misdeeds, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ's long-range plan, in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him. Everything in deepest heaven and everything on planet Earth. I love that. You know, we are free because of what Jesus did on the cross. He died in our place to set us free from the penalty of sin and death and hell. He died in our place to give us freedom, and not just barely free either, abundantly free. That's good news. It's a reason to celebrate here on this Independence Day. And so Ephesians 1, I'll read it to you from the New Living Translation. Ephesians 1, verses 7 through 10. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showed His kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God has now revealed to us His mysterious plan regarding Christ, a plan to fulfill His own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything in heaven and on earth. That's amazing. You know, He purchased us. He redeemed us, is the way another translation words it. And this word redeemed means to buy back or to pay for. Jesus paid for our freedom on the cross. He shed His blood for our freedom spiritually. For eternity, we'll be free because of what Jesus has done, how He's given His life for us. And redemption is the scriptural word for this. Redemption. It's one of the most important words in all the Bible. And it means deliverance by payment of a price. Jesus delivered us from bondage into freedom by the price that He paid on the cross to make us His very own people. In the New Testament, redemption refers to salvation from sin, salvation from death, salvation, complete and total salvation by God's sacrifice through Jesus for us. Now, Titus 2:14 says, Jesus, He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. Now, Jesus, He gave His life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us, to make us His very own people. You're not alone. You're part of the people of God. Through faith in Christ, you're part of the church, the bride of Christ, and Jesus is at the center of His church, and the church is central to Him. And He's called us to be His very own people, totally committed to doing good deeds. I pray that that's true of us as a church, that we'd be totally committed to doing good deeds, helping others, helping the lives of others to be better, doing what we can to make our city a better place, doing what we can to help our neighbors and our friends, doing what we can, totally committed to sharing the love of Christ. That's what Jesus did. He went around everywhere doing good deeds and destroying the works of the devil. I love that about Jesus. And Jesus said this in John 8, verse 36. He said, "So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." If the Son sets you free, you're truly free. It's absolutely true. If Jesus has set you free, and D.L. Moody said, you know, if you've placed your faith in Christ, then you're free, whether you realize it or not. But Jesus said, so if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. Truly free. You know, I heard the story of a pastor. His friend called him and told him a story, and I thought this story was so funny. His friend had a goat, and a neighbor called and said, you know, I see your goat is dead, you know, in the ditch just down the road. And so this pastor went out this pastor's friend went out and found the goat in the ditch, assuming the goat was dead. But as he got close to the goat, he realized that the goat had been, someone had tried to steal this goat. There was ropes tied around his legs, the legs of the goat, holding the goat's legs together. And somehow or another, they tried to steal the goat, but something happened. Maybe someone came by and they just dropped the goat in the ditch and took off. Well, this guy took and untied this goat's legs, and the goat didn't get up and didn't move, although he was fine. He could see that the goat was fine, and the goat's legs were untied, but the goat didn't get up, the goat didn't move, and so the person just was perplexed by this, so eventually coaxed the goat, patted the goat on the back, tried to get the goat to get up and move. It wouldn't move, so finally he picks up the goat, stretches out his legs to where they should be, and finally coaxes the goat to realize, I'm free. And so Jesus is saying here, so if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. You're freer than you realize, because the same Spirit that rose Christ from the grave lives in you. You're free. Romans 8 tells us the same Spirit that rose Christ from the dead lives in you. You're free. You're freer than you realize. Freer to make new choices. Freer to live a different life. You're completely free in Christ. You know, God has given you a will. You can set your will. You can follow God. You can break old habits and addictions. You can be truly free. And it all begins with realizing, hey, our arms and legs aren't tied anymore. Because of Jesus, we've been set free. We can move. We don't have to stay in this ditch. We can move. We can get out. We can live a new life. You can live the life that A.W. Tozer was talking about when he said, you know, that God wants you to be as free as a bird, to soar and sing your Maker's praise. That's the kind of freedom that Jesus offers us, true freedom. And so Jesus gave himself as a ransom to set you free from sin. Jesus gave himself as a ransom. He paid the high price to set you free from sin. He entered the enemy's slave market. That's what redemption means. He entered the enemy's slave market to buy you back. You see, the enemy had taken you captive. The enemy has taken all of humanity captive under the penalty of sin, death, and hell. And Jesus broke into that, and he paid the price with his own life to set us free, to get us free out of that bondage. And he paid that price on the cross. You know, there was a missionary in Africa, and he was trying to translate, you know, the New Testament into the language of this particular people group. And he got to this word redemption, and he realized that the word redemption, to buy back, to pay for, he realized that this was such an important word, one of the most important words in all the Bible. He realized that. And so he really struggled and labored over this concept of redemption. And he talked to the local people in their own language, and they had a term. And the term was this, he asked the local people, how should I translate this? This is kind of what it means. How should I put this when I'm writing the Bible out into your own language? How could I translate this word so that it grabs your language, it grabs the attention of the people of your people group, and so that they get what is meant by redemption? And he tells them what redemption means the best way that he can, and they say, oh yes, translated as this, as you pen the words of the New Testament, translated as this, take your head out, take their head out. And this missionary said, well, what does that mean? And this people group, they came together and said, you know, whenever the slave traders would come into our land and steal our family members and take our family members into the camps and get ready to sail them off into slavery, to sell them in slavery, that, you know, the African people would come together and they would gather every bit of money that they had. They would sell things. They would lay down all their most valuable possessions and sell them and gather money. And someone, as a representative for the family, would take that money, go to the slave traders, and ask that they would take the head out of the group, of their family member, that they could come and pay the high price to take the head out, their family member who they recognized, their head out of all the many heads in that camp. If they could pay and take their head out of that group. And so it became a term that the slave traders and the African people used, taking their head out. And so when this missionary penned the words of the New Testament into this people group's language, they used those words, take their head out, when it came to redemption. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. Do you realize that heaven went bankrupt for you? In the midst of that sad story, there's a powerful truth there, that heaven went bankrupt to redeem you, to ransom you. God gave his very own son, the most valuable thing that he had, to save you. Jesus gave the most valuable thing that he had. Heaven went bankrupt to redeem you. Jesus gave his all for us. The Father gave his all for us. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they give their all for us. And God makes this offer, all of me for all of you. God the Father would say, heaven went bankrupt to take your head out. And that's the love of God. What more could he do? And that's what we celebrate, the freedom that Jesus has given us because of his cross, the freedom that he offers us. Again, Titus 2:14, he gave his life to free us from every kind of sin, to cleanse us and to make us his very own people. He's redeemed us. Galatians 3:13 through 14 says this, Christ redeemed us. This is again from the Message translation. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by abandoning it completely into himself. I'm sorry. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Christ redeemed us. He took our head out. Christ redeemed us. He paid the price for us. He freed us. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. He absorbed the curse. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating, cursed life by absorbing it completely into himself. Do you remember the scripture that says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree? That is what happened when Jesus was nailed to the cross. He became a curse, and at the same time is present and available for non-Jews too. We are all able to receive God's life, his spirit in and with us, by believing, just the way Abraham received it. And of course, that's by faith. that Jesus took the curse that we were under. We were in the enemy's slave camp, under the curse of sin and death and suffering and evil for eternity. And Jesus stepped into that place. He took the curse upon us. He said, I'll take their place. Let them free. And Jesus set us free. It's an amazing story. You know, I think about these words of scripture from Ephesians and from Galatians, and the one who's writing these words by the inspiration of God's Spirit is the Apostle Paul, and he knew something about freedom because he knew what it was like to be in prison. And Paul was put in prison over and over again in his missionary life because he was sharing the words of God. He was sharing the truths of Scripture. He was sharing God's story. He was sharing what Jesus had done for humanity, and people didn't like it. So he went to prison over and over again. In prison, Paul spent over five years of his life either under house arrest or in prison. 5 years of his life. Can you imagine 5 years of your life in prison because you're preaching the love of God, because you're sharing the gospel, because you're telling people that God sent his son, born of a virgin, who lived a sinless, spotless life, who laid down his life for our sakes, who took our sin upon himself and offered himself to take our curse, that he died a horrible death, suffered on our behalf. He died, and God the Father endorsed the message of his son. What he said and what he did, it was all true. God the Father sent his spirit to raise his son from the grave. He rose from the grave, conquered death, the only one in history to conquer death, and he lives forevermore to conquer death and never die again, and he lives forevermore. God has endorsed his ministry. He's elevated Jesus to his right hand in heaven. And the Father says, one day I'm sending my son to return, and he will be king of earth and heaven. And God the Father, through the endorsement of the resurrection and the validation, the stamp of approval on his son through the resurrection, one of the most documented facts in history, he says, this is the truth. Believe it, my son will return. And so Paul went preaching this message of Jesus and God's love, his love for all humanity. And because he preached that message, he was spent over 5 years of his life in prison, either house arrest or in prison. And so Paul knew something about what it means to be in jail, to be held captive, to be in bondage, and he knew what it's like to walk out of those cells into freedom. And Paul is saying in these passages, experience the freedom that God has for you. And freedom starts in Christ and it never ends. And so God offers you freedom today, freedom from sin, freedom from heaviness, freedom from worry. Jesus offers you his freedom, his abundant life. He wants you to sing your Maker's praise like a bird set free. Jesus loves you that much. He wants you to know his freedom, and his freedom is truly freedom. So if the Son sets you free, you're truly free. And so if you haven't received Christ, I'd love to pray with you now. If you'd like to experience God's freedom, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I pray that you'd forgive me of my sins. I pray that you'd come and fill me with your precious Spirit. I pray that you'd be the leader of my life. I pray you'd set me free from the bondage and the sin that so easily ensnares people. I pray you'd keep me free, that I could walk in your freedom and walk in freedom for eternity with you. And I thank you, Father God, for the gift of your Son. I want to follow you, Jesus, and I give you my life in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, you're a Christian. Let another Christian know so they can pray for you and encourage you. read the New Testament, read it again and again. God will speak to you there. Pray each day. God will meet you there. And I want to encourage you today, every believer, realize that you're free. And you might be saying, well, I don't feel free in certain areas of my life. Realize that the ropes have been removed. You might not feel like you can get up and move, but in the power of Jesus, in the power of Jesus' name, and in the power of His Spirit, you can get up and be free and walk free and enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. He has an abundant life for you. And He wants you to sing His praise, and He is singing over you. God loves you today. Enjoy this Independence Day weekend and realize that God has plans for you, plans for America. We love you. God bless you. Take care. God is for you.